Tonight's Hunted finale recap is sponsored by Blue Apron. Blue Apron makes home-cooked gourmet meals simple with step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients shipped to you that you can prepare in less than 40 minutes. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rob. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Coming to you live from the command center, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's logged online, been to the bank, walking on foot to bring you this podcast by airplane, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our finale edition of Hunted. And we have a lot to talk to tonight, a very exciting night, and certainly something that we did not see coming. Two winners, Lee and Hilmar, and English and Stephen King, and a lot of new rules that we had no idea were on the horizon. And we will talk about all that and much more, your reactions to the Hunted finale with our team of podcast hunters. First, she is the owner of a grayish, tan, bland sedan. please welcome back Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Didn't get lost in a cornfield, but I got lost in this episode. It was just so exciting, and God bless America.
God bless America is right. And also, here is a man who has been known to make it rain on a seaplane or two, Kurt Clark. Kurt, how are you?
Good. Just taking a break from this tasty cop sandwich that I got from the Rifi's Bar and Grill. So let's do this.
Yes. Okay. Well, we will get into all that and much more as we discuss our reactions to the 7 weeks of Hunted that we have now seen on our TV. And so we talked on last week's episode of what did we predict was going to happen in the finale. And we all had a lot of predictions, but nobody, I don't believe, said there will be two winners. And it will be Lee and Hilmar and English and Stephen King, Liana.
Yeah, I mean, we had written off English and Stephen kind of from their very first episode, but we kept seeing them. I mean, maybe we should have seen the light, but they ended up pulling it out and made it off with the money.
Yeah, I think that's probably first thing on the docket that we need to do is I know that I probably owe English and Stephen an apology because we looked at them and they were the last team to emerge. I said, this is a team that is going to be one and done. Mark my words. Then they were not one and done. And I said, okay, they'll be two and done. I think that they ultimately made it to five episodes. Is that right, Kurt?
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, it did seem like it was a while.
I think it was four.
Yeah, it was a while before we saw them. We didn't see them until episode four. And I think they were consistently in every episode since then. So four, five, six, and seven. Actually, just four episodes. Yeah.
Then we said, okay, they'll make it to the finale, but they will have some sort of like spectacular fail in the finale. And Kurt, they made it.
Yeah, it's it was a bit unexpected, but I can't say that I'm upset. So I'm sure there's lots of questions that'll come up as we discuss the details of their run tonight. But you know, good for them. Good on the Kings. I don't know if Stephen King needs any more money, but maybe he had to take a break from the typewriter to go on the run with English.
Hail to the Kings! They are your co-hunted winners. And then once Bavid and Emma Slay fell off the radar, you felt like the team that had the winner edit for the whole arc of the season was going to be the Wolves, and they too celebrate a victory tonight, Liana.
Explosions, totally warranted. Wolf howls, I love it. I'm happy with both teams that won, but I'm especially happy with Lee and Skagfield getting away. They were my winner pick from I think our very first podcast, so I'm very excited to see them pull it out in the end.
Yes, Kurt, were you celebrating at your place tonight?
Yeah, I was happy to see that they won as well. I was getting a little bit worried there when it became Lee had not apparently done the conditioning of cardio maybe necessary to get from the bank to the airport. But I was glad to see that they ended up getting it.
Two winners, Ahmed and Arif, not so lucky. We'll talk all of it through. But I think that where we need to begin tonight, and this was the overwhelming thought that I got from people on Twitter, on Facebook, that we got some rules dropped on us at the last second, and it did feel like that this was some fine print that came up with the show. And I know people were very upset. Now, this ultimately did not bear any fruit in terms of affecting the outcome, but I do believe that the way that the show presented the exit procedure, the way you have to win the game, I think people would have been really upset tonight if one of the teams got caught on the runway heading to the plane. Liana, how surprised were you with these rules that got dropped on us at the last moment?
I was completely shocked. It's like, what are these rules? The audacity of the show to just drop all of these rules on us, and the ones that, you know, I also believe were going to play a role in one of the teams getting caught. I mean, it had to be. So the three rules that we ended up getting was that by the time they got to the end, the teams that were left had to log into a website to get escape details to figure out where they were going to get the money. They were assigned a bank. They then had to go to that bank, get the money, and then make it on foot, apparently, to a plane to escape the hunt zone. And the hunters were getting all of this information along the way.
Kurt, were you as upset / angered as many of the people that I saw on social media tonight?
No, these people need to take a chill pill. It's not a huge... Here's what I think. If you introduce this element into any of the first six episodes, you're pretty much saying that there's going to be a team that that wins. I mean, I think that introducing it too early kind of ruins the story. I really had no issue with it myself. And one thing that I've kind of been comparing Hunted to this entire season, there's an old board game called Scotland Yard that I don't know if either of you are familiar with it. But basically, you have teams moving around London, and there's one person who moves mysteriously around the city. All you know is whether they're taking a bus, a taxi, or a boat. And you can see like the little paths on where these different vehicles go. But every so often, like every fifth move or every seventh move, the person has to appear on the map like a ping. And that's kind of what this game is like, where the moment they take money out of an ATM, that's the moment where they're kind of forced to surface so you see where they're at. And we know that they had to do that twice. And I just kind of see this as another thing, like at the end game, giving them at least a direction that they need to be headed in terms of command centers. So I think it's perfectly legitimate. I believe it's been there from the very front. It's just a matter of when they chose to tell us about it. I have absolutely no issue with it.
Okay, Liana, why do you feel like it was unfair?
First of all, Kurt is completely wrong. I think that it was unfair because essentially you are now forcing these teams out. I mean, the reason why I believe that this happened is for the drama of the show. So I guess from a viewing perspective, it would make it very exciting. But essentially, you're forcing them so close to the end. I mean, both of the teams, the hunter teams were there, you know, maybe 15 minutes. I mean, they were cutting it so close. You imagine that if the teams, which they had to walk or run, which I also thought was unfair. But if they get that close to the end and then to have that taken away by just these essentially forcing them to resurface, when if you've done a good job staying on the run for 28 days and not surfacing, then I think you deserve to get away. And it doesn't seem fair to have this, you know, just like plethora of riches for the command center people so close to the end.
I thought it was unfair at first, but then as I was watching it play out, I think it's an important distinction to make that production and the command center are separate entities. And I think that we have to like really look at this where there are the people that are on the run, there are the hunters, and then there is a third party behind the scenes, which is the production. And it's not that the hunters knew which bank they were going to. I was saying to myself, like, well, why don't the hunters just go and sit in front of the plane and wait for them to show up? And they didn't know which bank, and it seemed like it was different banks that they had to go to. So I felt like it was a little unfair to have these things so close to the end, like all of these red flags that were going to make it easier for the hunters to catch the hunted, yet they didn't catch either of the teams that got to this point. So unless it was just amazing that English and Steven and Lee and Hilmar overcame the odds, maybe it wasn't the biggest advantage in the world, Liana.
I mean, I guess for me, the bigger part was when they logged into the website to get the escape details, because I believe, was that on day 25 or day 26 when they had to log in?
26.
It was day 26. Yeah. I mean, I think, again, we didn't see this actually bear any fruit, but I don't want to just dismiss that these rules are fine just because they didn't end up getting caught. But the fact that they essentially got a lot of details, they got the car information, they got the license plates, they were able to track down the car. I think that would have been the time, that day 26, day 27, those would have been the days that I feel like the rules would have been very unfair.
The only thing is, when English and Steven logged into the computer, they were 120 miles away from their escape location. So that isn't a huge amount of information at that point, especially when they're given a 100 mile radius, a 200 mile diameter area in which the escape location could actually be. I think the big thing that tipped them off was, you know, Andy Stump's intuition that there might be a seaplane involved and that it might be kind of on the very edge of the periphery of the zone, flying in a plane from North Carolina. I mean, if he hadn't made that call and gotten a couple of the hunter teams up into that area, then once they got, you know, withdrew the money from the bank, if there hadn't been the hunter teams in the area, thanks to Andy, they would have been home free. So I think it was less of the fact that they were pinged on the radar by the computer check-in and by the bank withdrawal than the fact that Andy knew to get hunter teams up into that region.
Well, what did you think about didn't they have the 100-mile radius that they knew that the planes were going to be taking off from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt that also, I mean, I guess 100 square miles or whatever it was is still, like, it's still a very large area to try and find them, but that can still put the hunter teams, you know, within 100 miles or within 50 miles of, of the fugitives.
Well, no, it could have put them 200 miles from the fugitives just as well if it was a plane from the southern part of it, because it was like 100 miles north and 100 miles south. And, you know, and it sounded like the banks were only like 3 miles from the airports. And so, again, just the fact that the hunter teams just happened to be in the area and within a half hour, that was extremely lucky.
Now, the departure location, did the hunters know around from what area they were going to be leaving from? Like, was that information that they had, Kurt?
They just knew that. You mean the departure, meaning the airport?
Yeah. Did the command center know at some point they're going to leave from this part of Georgia? Were they, or was that just sort of like they had to guess where they were leaving from?
It sounded like once the teams were instructed that they were going to log into a computer, it seemed like at that same time the command center was told that there was going to be a 100-mile radius centered on Atlanta from which that airplane could take off. Because you see them kind of talking about, well, it's probably not going to be a major metropolitan airport like the one that services Atlanta, because it has to be something that's going to really kind of publicly accessible. And so that's why Zyra is saying she was going to get on the, you know, start making a list of all of the potential places that a plane could take off from, like the private airfield where someone could really kind of just like walk up and jump on a plane. So they just knew this 100-mile radius area that the plane could possibly taking off from. That was the only clue that we know that they had.
Liana, I do agree with you, though, that if somebody got caught tonight because of these rules, that I do feel like that the show would have gotten a bit of a black eye because of this.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't typically read the terms and conditions of anything that I click or sign, but I might read the terms and conditions of Hunted if I had them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with that too. I think I'm glad that both teams escaped, because I think that the post Hunted discussion would have been about the unfairness of these rules and versus just kind of the fun we've had over the past 7 weeks watching the show.
Yeah, I think we would be having a very different discussion tonight about, was Hunted sort of like a carnival game where there's no way you could win. It was like no matter what you did at the end that they were going to arrest, especially if both of the teams got busted in this way, Kurt, it would have been pandemonium.
Riots in the streets.
There would have been riots tonight. That's what yes. I'm really glad about.
Yeah, for that very reason, I'm glad that both teams escaped, because it allows us to focus again on the lighter side of hunting.
Okay, good. Well, let's start our discussion of these three teams that are left, and we gave them the short shrift all season long. So why not, in honor of our co-winners, should we talk about English and Steven first?
Sure.
And Liana doesn't even say anything. She only wants to talk about Lee and Hillbay.
No, I'm very excited with English and Steven. You know, I had because we just didn't see much from them in the edit. It was very hard for me to connect with them and to root for them. But this episode, especially with the phone call and all that stuff, I really started to root for English and Steven, and I'm very happy that they got away.
It was their breakout night in more ways than one. Look, and if you guys don't want to talk about them, at Jackie Stacky on Twitter just tweeted to me, when Hunted does Game Changers, I'm applying now to defend why English and Steven are here.
Hey, last episode, I said I was pulling for a king win.
Well, the Kings did pull it off, and I really am just flabbergasted. I mean, they seem like very nice people, but I mean, there is the big case of the missing time where, I mean, between David and Emily and Lee and Hillmar, we saw like every move they made on the board, and even Arif and Ahmad, that we saw so much of them, Kurt. I mean, what do you think was the reason why we ended up seeing so little of English and Steven?
I'm still don't know. Maybe you just have to pick those things that are kind of exciting television. And really, if they just kind of keep their heads low and fly under the radar for a long period of time, you're just not going to necessarily see much of them on the TV. If they hadn't won, but they'd made it to like day 22, we might have seen one and done with them. I mean, little underreported fact, but Troy and Shelley outlasted David and Emily on the show. They lasted 18 days and David mm-hmm. and Emily were caught on day 16. And we just had a one and done with Troy and Shelley in terms of one episode two. So it really comes down to, what is it that you're doing during those days that's possibly of interest?
Okay. Got to be good TV.
Yeah. Well, this kind of reminded me of Michelle in Koh Rong, because we were essentially told she has this great social game, and then she, you know, obviously she ends up winning, and deservedly so. But that's how it felt for English and Steven, was we never really saw so much from them. And so whether or not they weren't particularly exciting, that's why it still feels a little bit out of left field that they were able to pull out the win in the end.
And a little bit, I was also thinking that I think where some people might feel a little bit, hopefully not, but not cheated, is I think one of the differences there is that a lot of the controversy over Michelle was her win over Aubrey, whereas, spoiler alert for those who hadn't seen the season, but we're here, so you can have multiple winners. And so I'm hoping that people don't feel cheated that there's a king win, because it's not like they took that win from anybody else.
Totally understood. Unless you were rooting for the Hunters, Kurt.
At this point, I don't think anybody was rooting for the Hunters for when you get down to episode 7.
Oh, come on. They've been our friends this whole time, Kurt.
Not for Miles and Will. I was rooting for the Hunters.
Weren't you rooting for them, Rob? You are all about the Command Center.
Yeah, I felt like it was a disappointing night for the Command Center tonight. Yeah, they ended up with catching Arif and Ahmad, and we'll talk about that. But yeah, they did come up short in those last 40 minutes, Liana.
They did. I mean, props to English and Steven and to Lee and Hillmar. They got away. I mean, the Command Center people really did a great job. And the especially Andy with his intuition about the plane, you know, it was all very exciting. And while I think ultimately I was still rooting for the fugitives, you know, the hunted Command Center does hold a very special place in my heart.
Going back to English and Steven, Kurt, if we had to then in the evolution of Hunted, say English and Steven, what they did to co-win this game, what would you say the English and Steven strategy was?
Being very comfortable, a little bit like Miles and Will, but in a much less creepy fashion of approaching strangers and asking for favors.
Yeah.
We saw it repeatedly happen over and over again, like in terms of the guy with the tractor trailer truck in the cornfield, especially tonight. And, you know, I think it was Martin and his wife and the neighbors in tonight's episode. I think we, you know, and they also learned that when they did start to reach out to people who were within their circle, the quote unquote UNC circle, that it really started to put them on the radar of the hunters. And that's just something that I think we see English realize this multiple times. And you just can't afford to have a Meredith in your circle of friends, apparently, too.
Liana, so the key for English and Steven was just relying on the kindness of strangers.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And it's so funny that Meredith, their friend or acquaintance, right, is the person that sells them out, when the people who gave them the car and who let them stay, you know, in a tent in their backyard, those are the people that were really helping them the most.
Yeah, it's funny that the people that you think you can count on, you can't. Mm-hmm. And then strangers, they just they want to make a good impression on you. So interesting life lesson there. So
I'd also say that it's a little bit of we talked about when we were introduced to English that she is a planner, but she or both of them really avoided planning more than, like, it seemed like the next hour of their lives. Like they didn't know where they were going to go. They didn't have a plan. And if they didn't have a plan, it was going to be hard for the hunters to figure out what their plan was.
So the episode begins with English and Steven, and we see Griff working the phones. That's his gig, that the Griff Raff is out there, and he is putting in a phone call. He gets a hold of Meredith. Now, what is the relationship of Meredith to English and Steven, Liana?
So Meredith is part of that UMC network, and is also an audiologist and I believe a friend of English.
Not a good friend, Kurt.
I think Meredith is friend with a lowercase f.
Oh. Like
one of those people that you feel obligated to accept their friend request because they sent it to you right after a class reunion and you might get the occasional like. She's no Debbie Sapp.
Yes, no Debbie Sapp, but shades of Mary Scott Valentine, Liana?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the second person now that we've seen that will give up information from $500, I think, is what Meredith said.
$500? That's it.
It was a pretty low bar.
I mean, in the case of Mary Scott Valentine, who got dragged all over Twitter and Facebook, she gave up two randos that were hanging out with her sister. And here's Meredith, friend, quote unquote, lowercase f friend of English King. And she is stopping her friend from potentially winning $250,000, Kurt, for $500.
You know what? The thing is, I don't know how much she knew about the entire situation. I mean, I don't think that she ever actually saw the Kings. I think basically she knew that, Rebecca and Rachel had kind of connected the Kings with Rachel's brother. She may not have even gotten the details that there was $250,000 on the line. We did, because they didn't see a wanted poster. This was purely Griff calling her out of the blue. So I don't know how much Meredith knew about the entire process. So, but it was still kind of a shady move.
Yeah, very shady.
At least Mary Scott Valentine is never going to see Miles and Will again. Is Meredith going to have to show her face around English? So, yeah, sorry. Sold you out for $500?
Is this the new most awkward relationship caused by Hunted, topping the neighbor of the woman who was helping out? Who was
Robin?
Angela and Michelle? Yeah.
Robin's neighbor?
Robin's neighbor.
Well, it sounds like...
And Mary Scott Valentine with her sisters.
That's true. I think that's going to top the awkwardness.
Well, that's more because Mary Scott Valentine's sister said, "This is why I hate Mary Scott."
True. It's because I think when we see English reaching out to Rebecca, because I believe, if I remember correctly, she like calls Meredith gets voicemail, calls Rebecca, gets through, or something like that. But when she's talking to Rebecca, she's like, I haven't seen this woman in 15 years. So it's not like these are people, again, who you really are connected with well beyond social media and the occasional, you know, note on your wall. So I don't think there's going to necessarily even be an opportunity for a reunion between the Kings and Meredith.
It's only a class reunion.
Maybe even that.
They work in the same field. Can you imagine the gossip in the audiology circles are going to be like, girl, did you hear? She sold her out. There'll be sides. I think it's going to be dramatic.
Yeah. I think do you hear is how all the audiologists start.
Can you hear?
Yeah. All right. Well, we end up seeing then that Meredith gives up the information about Rachel Stapleton and Tommy Griffith. And we see that $500 gets paid out for this info. So English and Steven continue to go around like looking for strangers. They end up wandering through the cornfield, as you mentioned, Kurt. And I thought it was, you know, shades of the...
You ain't never seen that movie Deliverance, has you?
Yeah, when they run into the corn man out in the field. And here's what this guy was saying.
What's that? We were hiking and we got a little lost.
What you looking for?
Whoa.
What road is this?
Why is it so funny?
I don't know why he's laughing.
Oh, what you looking for?
I don't think he is as creepy as the Deliverance guy, but I don't know. It was very Children of the Corn-esque. At least he wasn't like a creepy child and it was an adult. But I guess that's a Stephen King short story, so it works out.
Yes. Well, yeah. This was a really short story for Stephen King where we hardly got to see any of what the protagonist was doing. And then they were still talking to the corn man and he said,
y'all want to jump in the truck? Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Shades of Justin. This was like Hunted OTT.
Yes, this is very much Hunted OTT. Hopefully, at least the Kings weren't wearing any sort of witch hat.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
All right. So English and Steven are in the car and they're getting a ride. They need to get to Georgia. And they have this guy Riley's phone, and English, I think, she pulls the big time move that Steven says, hey, I don't think it's a good idea to call Amber. She does it anyway. She's like, well, I just called her, Liana.
That happens a lot, I'm sure, in their household. I really don't think you should do this. Oh, I already did it.
Yeah.
you just yada yada past days 7 to like 26, though, Rob, in between cornfield and Riley's phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't skip over 20 some days of game.
Well, Kurt, I recap a TV show. The show yada yada this stuff.
I'm thinking that's true. I bet I'm just like dumbfounded that like, and it may have been like day 8 or day 9. Like, as far as we know, they left the Griffin's household. They went up in a cornfield. They get in the truck. And then, like, there's some sort of alien abduction. They wake up 20 days later in Frank Riley's, computer den. And so, this was just a strange thing that I'm waiting for some secret scenes. I just no idea what to make of this. But yeah, it's. They call Amber. Get Amber back on the case.
All right. We got English and Steven, the case of their disappearance. They've gone missing for 20 days. All right. I need theories. Liana.
It had to have been an alien abduction. Maybe they got away on a water plane, a water spaceship, and they've been missing and we can't find them.
All right. Let's see where water spaceships are taking off. Kurt, what do you got?
Is Team Charlie near the Bermuda Triangle? Can we send them deeper into the triangle?
Okay.
That'd be Team Delta, I suppose.
All right. I need to know how many shapes are on all the polygons that you see. Wait. What's this one? This one has 4?
I don't know if Troy's sore, but my legs are sore. My arms are sore. My trapezoids are sore.
No, that is not a triangle.
The Bermuda Trapezoid.
Maybe there was a corn, like from Signs, like in that corn maze.
Yes, they went in the cornfield. That's where the UFOs take off from. And then English and Steven got abducted. And then they were helping them until this other freaking Meredith came along and said, yeah, well, you know what else, Griff? I saw this UFO and Galactar, he was going to give them a ride.
Galactar.
It was a beige-ish spaceship.
UFO. Yeah.
90s. Vague.
Yes.
Oh.
It was a bland starship.
But seriously though, when it just popped up on the screen that it was day 26, I did a double take. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. So in all seriousness, I mean, what happened? Were they just boring? Was it bad TV? Was there, did something happen that they couldn't show us? Did production lose them?
20 days of hitchhiking and free pizza. I mean, like,
it was just boring. It was just,
well, there's nothing. Literally, no. It wasn't even a 30 second clip of them talking to somebody else or montage. Them camping somewhere. It was just, it was nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Troy and Shelley, it was kind of the same thing. Like, it was like from day 3 when they start camping to day like 15 when her trapezoids are sore and they decide to make it back to society.
English and Stephen, maybe one day we'll find out what happened.
Secret
to them.
Scenes. Secret scenes.
If you saw English and Stephen between days 6 and 26, let us know so we can find out what they were up to. So anyway, so they made this phone call to Amber, and that is going to get the hunters going. They're going to be closing in on Amber. Now, they end up going to another place where they are going to be setting up again in somebody else's backyard. I mean, this is the line that they use.
We're from out of town. We have no car, we have no phone, and we're just looking for a safe place to pitch a tent for the night.
Yeah. We're a couple. We just need a place to pitch a tent. Kurt, that are people bringing Stephen and English in thinking that they're swingers?
Quite possibly. I think that it seems
is
like
that
they
how they've been so successful.
Maybe yes. That's why they couldn't show the footage.
Yes,
exactly. Oh, Hunted After Dark. It's like, yeah, we're just looking. We're out of town. We've got a camera with us. Can we just pitch a tent?
Yeah,
we've got it. It's like, we'll film everything. Yeah, I don't know. It's just they're unassuming, and so I think the strangers are just willing to help them.
The strangers are willing to help them. Well, boy, yes. Do they get helped by a stranger. Liana, could you explain to me the good graces and the luck that English and Stephen have to find this family that is giving cars away like Oprah?
This is better than Blaze, because they don't know these people and they just gave them an extra car. They let them stay there. They gave them food. And then they did the best when the hunters came up to interrogate them at that funeral home. They did better than, you know, all the other people I think that we've seen so far on the show.
They did a good job. We'll get there in a second. So English feels bad about that time she called Amber. She feels like she needs to make up for this mistake. So Kurt, she comes up with a plan for a diversion. Could you talk us through what she does?
Well, I think, you know, she suspects that, you know, that Amber is compromised and that the hunters could potentially be, you know, either tracing her phone or tracing the phone calls. So with a little help from Martin's wife, Rita, over some of that free pizza that they got, they come up with this plan where it sounds like they're going to give, like, Rita and Martin are going to give her, lend the Kings their car. And the Kings are going to tell Amber to meet them at this funeral home. But instead, it's going to be Rita and neighbors Kathy and Melissa who are actually waiting for Amber at the funeral home. I don't get the impression that Amber knows that the Kings aren't going to show up. And she felt bad, I think, that she was even potentially not just that she called her sister, but she wants to make sure that her sister doesn't show up and not find them there. So these strangers offer to help out from that perspective. In the meantime, while everybody descends on this funeral home, the Kings are going to be off in some other direction, getting closer to the escape location.
Liana, has anybody on this show been put through more than Amber, English's sister, from when she had to be worried that her sister didn't have a place to hang her head to when Ben Owen was interrogating her over Skype to when English King sets her out to go be a decoy and then meet up with the hunters again? Hasn't Amber been through enough?
Well, I was going to say Beth Lee's wife, but at least Beth was only messed with by the hunters. Like Amber was messed with by the hunters
too.
And her own family.
Yes. Even English King is now at the point where she's messing with Amber. And we had this point where Alpha Team is coming in, Charlie Team is coming in. Everybody is moving in, trying to catch them. They think they have them at this funeral home. And no, it's not English and Steven. It's Rita and Melissa. And this was Rita and Melissa when the hunters start giving them the business.
Recently that you don't know, the individual's names are Steven and English. Does those names ring a bell?
I can't divulge that.
I can't divulge that.
I got the feeling they were excited to be just kind of part of this new experience in their lives.
I think that's the key. I think you need to find some bored people that are willing to like, yeah, I'm in. I've been waiting for something like this.
But so completely in. They were essentially doing everything that they could to help them.
So have you seen English and Steven?
I can't divulge that.
Which is, like you said, that's better than 90% of the responses that the hunters have been given this entire season.
Family members have been given, you know, about, hey, where do they go? Like, well, they have this other friend, Robin, that they're always with her.
I can't divulge that.
Oh, I wondered if Griff then started taking out the money. Like, he was flush with cash when he was going to give Meredith the $500. I just would love to have seen, like, that interaction.
Yeah. Well, good for English and Steven that out of the whole show, you know, they were just sort of, like, bouncing around. Other than the storm on the first night, that they hadn't really had a moment. This was, I think, their signature moment when English King dupes the hunters, Kurt.
Yeah, it was fun to see. I'm hoping that whoever does Hunted season two, that they look up Martin and Rita's information and we potentially stop there again for free pizza. Yeah. I think that would be something that the hunters would never expect. Not only are you going out of somebody who's not in your network, but you're going back to a resource that was used in season one that was a total stranger.
And then English and Steven, I mean, they get away pretty scot-free. They go to the bank, they take out the money. I mean, they don't even experience the same sort of fatigue that we end up seeing befall Lee Wilson. And they make it to the boat, yeah, and they get away. The only drama we get is we go to a commercial where the plane won't start. And I was really, I would have been rioting at the point where they get to the plane and then the plane doesn't start. And then English and Steven, your time on the run is over.
Yeah, I would have been very upset if that had been the case. The plane's like turning over, not catching. And then, you know, Team Alpha shows up and they get caught. That would have been horrible.
That would have been rough.
Or they send up a drone. And like the drone is now chasing down the plane and like tries to intercept it. I was
sounds very dangerous.
It does sound very dangerous, but it's like we see like as the drama that's trying to build is they track down a seaplane that's coming into that area and they're trying to get a hold of the pilot. Like Ri-Fi is trying to get a hold of the pilot. And I didn't know where that was potentially going. Like, is Command Center going to tell the pilot you can't take off? Or because I figured that the pilot is more probably aligned with production and knows what's going on. So I'm not sure what calling the pilot would have actually done.
If they could track down the pilot, what could they say? Like, I'll give you $1,000 not to leave.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. They'll offer him money to not take off or to like sabotage the plane. Like maybe he cut a wire in the engine and that's why it wasn't going to start.
But hypothetically, let's say that happened. Let's say they got a hold of the pilot of the plane and said, okay, we'll pay you $1,000 not to leave. English and Steven didn't book this flight. I mean, this really has nothing to do with them.
They've got $250,000 with them.
Yeah.
It's like a bidding war for
exactly.
I mean, take off. Yeah, I don't know.
But what happens if the hunters, like, convince the pilot, okay, not to take off? What do they have to do? Is that, like, charter another flight?
That's the thing. If if their win is conditional on them getting on this plane provided by production and taking off, and then the hunters do something to interfere with that, I actually think that that probably is against the rules, because you're kind of interfering with the production element. Just like if the plane actually hadn't been able to take off, if there was a mechanical error with the plane, that's like your only exit from this game and it's not working. I'm sure there would have been some editing done so that the plane actually, you know, they everyone pause, everyone stop. We're going to fix the plane just so we can see it take off. I think the moment they got in the plane, they won.
Kurt, now you mentioned about them running around with the money. Do you think the money was real?
I don't know if it's just my, like, you know, tidiness, given what we see Lee and Hilmar doing with the money later, and the throwing it around the airplane cabin. I'm like, I'm really hoping that's not real, because all it's going to take is, like, you know, the door to accidentally open and all their money gets sucked out. I'm because the fact that it was just, yeah, I'm sure that the Kings or the Wolves can tell us on Twitter. My guess is that the money wasn't real.
Liana, what's your guess?
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine they're doing that 3-mile trek to the plane and then they're carrying these big bags of money in clear plastic bags? Somebody decides to rob them, right? Like, I can't imagine that would have been good.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But so back to the plane thing, just real quick. I really do think that it would have been against the rules. Like, I don't know if Wi-Fi calling and getting a hold would have done anything, but it would have been cool if they're swingers. They could have gotten those people from the boat from Miles and Will, and then those guys could have all hooked up and then gone away in the boat.
What are you, Joey Rodriguez?
Space !!
Yeah. So I would love to know from Lee and Hilmar or from English and Steven if the money was real.
I can't divulge that.
Come on.
Yeah. They can't divulge that.
What if the money they gave Meredith wasn't real? What if Griff had some of that fake money? Now, because we saw that Meredith got $500, do you think that Mary Scott Valentine also got $500, Kurt?
I'm guessing that that's maybe the amount.
Right?
That's my guess. Because I don't know, except maybe the fact that this was, you know, late. Well, we did about the time that they asked that, it was probably not day 29. That was closer to like day 6 or so. So I'm guessing the going rate for Mary Scott Valentine might have been a little bit higher, because Miles and Will got to like day 15 or so. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe Meredith should have struck a hard bargain with Griff.
English and Steven, they get to the plane, they get off, and they are our first winners of the season. And I really, at this point in the episode, I said, oh, English and Steven won, and I think that Lee and Hilmar are going to lose. And I was saying to myself, Liana, what is this? The Oscars?
They just messed it up. This isn't La La Land.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little panicked for that too. Like, uh-oh.
What kind of ending is this?
I'm thinking back to the seasons of The Bachelor that I've watched, where you've got the final two, and it's always the first, it seems most of the time, it's usually the first person that goes to The Bachelor or The Bachelorette that gets turned away, and then it's the second person, because they want to end on the happy note. So at least from a edit of today's episode, the fact I didn't think that they would end with the last team being captured. I thought that there's a good chance that both teams were going to win when we saw that Stephen and English won. I didn't think that they would then end the series with Lee and Hilmar getting captured.
No, because they were really the team that I think that you were rooting for from their story the whole way through. Congrats again to English and Steven on a job well done. And again, we did not believe that you could do it. So again, I have no problem with eating the crow. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, major props to them. And this episode, I was really rooting for them and was excited when they got away.
Okay. So good job to English and Steven. Okay. And then let's talk about the other team that ends up bringing home the prize money. That was Lee and Hilmar, who we really did not see a ton of in the episode. It was probably about like 20, 25 minutes in before we even saw them. I think they were mentioned in the command center a couple of times, but we end up questioning this guy who was friends with them. What was his name, Kurt? Topher?
Yeah, this is Topher. We saw them get to Topher's last week.
And Topher ends up kind of giving away a lot of information that he did not go with the standard.
I can't divulge that.
See, and he's their friend.
Yeah, I got the sense that he was trying to appear helpful. He's like, I'll tell them things that won't be of any use. You know, like they're in a gray car that we took to the BP.
Yeah. He gave them like some very specific information, which helps them end up finding the bland sedan, and they get these Florida plates. And now the hunters are in business because they know the car that Lee and Hilmar are in, Liana.
As soon as he started talking about the gas station, I was having flashbacks of Centrin 2. Mm-hmm. And that was how they got the CCTV cameras and they got the license plate from that. And then they were able to track them down. So, I mean, as soon as he said that, I was like, no, Topher, no.
Yeah, they had the 2003 Chevy Impala. They were looking for the license plates. But ultimately, the hunters never really get that close. Kurt, I know you and I believe have talked about, you know, on The Amazing Race in the past that it is tricky to figure out these edits. And honestly, I'm not sure if you and I have talked about this, but I know I've talked about this with people that it's hard to figure out where teams are in The Amazing Race when they're not in the same shot. How close do you think the hunters were to ever catching Lee and Hilmar?
Again, I'm trying to figure out if it was real or the edit in terms of, like, I think I remember seeing Team India looking at the seaplane as it's taking off. I mean, that could have been two different things spliced together. Or, you know, once the plane takes off, I mean, maybe, you know, the production had the seaplane just circle the marina a couple times because we want to get a take of, you know, this team watching watching you guys take off. So I'm not completely sure, but, you know, we got repeated reports of like, we're just, you know, 3 miles away or we're just 3 minutes away. So I do think it was indeed pretty close.
We ended up with Lee and Hilmar then heading to the bank and they decided to put on a suit, Liana. And can we officially say this is the first time Hilmar has changed his shirt?
Well, this is the first evidence that we have of him changing his shirt. Oh. So it's very possible he went all 28 days without changing. But he really just put the jacket on, which in the middle of the summer in Georgia, I mean, that's dedication.
Very dedicated.
To be fair, when they're running to the airport from the bank, he's got that same shirt on. He just has a jacket on over it.
Okay. So they go to the bank. They take out the money. And I do like the visual. Like, it was fun, like, seeing them, like, run out of the bank with the money. Like, it is fun. It's not practical, Kurt, but...
Yeah, see, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Banks don't go for that. I've... As somebody who, like, made the really poor choice to change their plates from Michigan plates to Illinois plates in the parking lot of a bank and then had the police approach him and question him, running out of a bank with a bunch of money is probably not the best thing to do.
But it was cool to see. So
it was cool to see. It fit. If you apply the reality lens to it, you're like, maybe don't do that. But in terms of like the story they're building, it was good. It was appropriate.
Now, I think that part of this wonky rule change that we have not touched on, Liana, is so you had to check in on the computer, then you had to go to the bank and take out the money. But in addition to getting on the seaplane, you had to get the next 3 miles on foot.
They were 3 miles away, which I thought that was so interesting. I don't know if this was all for, you know, we got to see them run out of the bank. So maybe seeing them run 3 miles to go get on a seaplane would have been very exciting. I have no idea, but I felt bad for them. It's hot in the summer in the South.
Kurt, I did think that this was the part of this that was the most unfair, where the hunters get to know what bank you went to. And then you have to go on foot away from that bank.
Again, if the hunter teams hadn't been in the area since, you know, thanks to Andy's intuition, it wouldn't have mattered because they were maybe an hour walk versus, you know, teams could have easily been well over an hour drive away. So I'm not hating it.
And Hilmar was doing pretty good, but Lee was had to shut it down, Kurt. I was very surprised.
Yeah, he's you know, strips down to a tank top, whereas, you know, Hilmar still has the jacket on over the famous shirt. So I was worried that the empty tank of Lee Wilson was going to potentially tank their efforts to win.
And he was telling Hilmar, go without me.
I don't know if
Leave
you can do
me.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been told that in the UK version of Hunted, teams can actually split up and to win, that you apparently can capture half of a team and the other half can still win. Maybe that's something that was in the rules here that no teams were willing to entertain. So it really didn't end up happening now. But I had no doubt that Hilmar was not going to leave Lee behind.
Liana, we always talk about in the evolution strategy, the challenge from a Survivor Palau originally, where Tom Westman and Ian like had to carry the bags of sand and ultimately catch Oolong going in laps. Could Lee hand off his bag of money to Hilmar?
Well, so that's what I was wondering. Like, if he had given the money to Hilmar and then just had Hilmar go get in the plane, then do they still get the money? Or, like, what are the conditions? Is it just the money that has to make it to the plane? Do they both have to make it to the plane?
I feel like they can't really split up. I think that's a thing. So they end up heading over to the plane, and I was really getting very concerned about them, especially when we're seeing the hunters trying to get the pilot of the plane, but that was not the case either. And we see Lee and Hilmar, they get to their plane, and again, Kurt, that Lee is making it rain on that seaplane.
Yeah, this is where I was like, I hope that money is not real. It seemed like it was much. I think that the drama around the king's escape was a little bit more around, the pilot potentially getting called and then the plane troubles, whereas the drama around the wolves' escape was really more about. Is Lee going to make it to the plane? And the moment that I think they see the plane up there and you see that drone shot of them coming into the airport and the plane is like literally like, 200 feet from the entrance. I was, 99.9% sure that they had made a clean getaway.
Yeah. And I have to give credit to both these teams that won. It doesn't seem like the hunters were ever close to catching either of them. I mean, they had leads, and certainly Lee and Hilmar left them more breadcrumbs, Liana. But where we had a team like David and Emily, who seemingly had like five close calls with the hunters, I don't remember any particular close call for either of these teams.
No, I don't think so. And that's what I was trying to think back. Right? What can we learn if we're going into season two from these two teams? And I'm still not quite sure, how it was that they were able to go the whole time without having any close calls. I mean, especially Lee and Hilmar with the email thing and then the plane thing, all of that were these digital breadcrumbs that I thought would have gotten them into more trouble.
Kurt, if we were going to say what was the secret to Lee and Hilmar's success, now I know that they certainly had style. I know they taunted the hunters, but I don't think that those were things that necessarily helped them along the way. I think they helped them with being a TV presence in a way that Steven and English weren't. In terms of their strategy of evading the hunters, what do you feel like was the Lee and Hilmar signature strategy?
I'm not entirely sure. I was going to say that the TV personality thing, I think the thing that helped them with was we saw more of their entire 28-day journey because they kind of did more things along the way. There's that style points that you kind of talk about. But in terms of, we said, the kings were comfortable approaching strangers. I guess with the wolves, it was to... avoid leaving a digital footprint wherever possible, except for ones that you were purposefully laying down. It seemed like they were mapping out their kind of in 3-day chunks, maybe, but they weren't just mapping out where their next two or three places to stay were, but their possible distractions as well. But I'm not entirely sure. It may be just like really disparate and random networks of people that they could tap into. So not complete strangers, but people who it was just going to be hard to trace.
Liana, I do feel like a lot of it also goes back to that Gmail draft strategy that they set up. I think they did have a very effective network of associates to rely on.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually interesting to compare and contrast Leanne Hilmar with English and Steven, because, you know, English and Steven, they had the binder, they were all prepared, they were ready, and they essentially ended up completely abandoning that strategy and just relying on people that they didn't know. Whereas Leanne Hilmar really did have this seemingly complex network for support, and they actually did end up staying with people that they knew almost their entire trip.
Yeah.
And it seems like really the only people we see Lee and Hilmar relying on is, in one instance, the place where they start plotting out the plane ride in, where Beth was going to be coming in. They're staying at a friend's place in Florida. And then I think it was at Topher's place that they had even done the Craigslist plotting. And so, and the only reason they got turned, they had said, the command center had said they were going to try to track down where that had happened by the IP address used to post the Craigslist ads, but we never really saw that come to fruition. But the only way they get turned onto Topher's place is because that's the house that they log into the in safe website to find out what their final instructions are. Was it from Topher's house?
Will Lee and Hilmar be back for Hunted All Stars, Liana?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with all the shenanigans that they pulled, I think that they would absolutely be asked back. I mean, just look at the days that English and Steven and Leanne Hilmar started at in this episode. I think Leanne Hilmar started at day 25 and English and Steven, we started with them at what, day 9? So, you know, clearly they had so much more content. We essentially saw them in every episode except for the first one. And they made for just really exciting and gripping TV.
Now, did you see that Lee Wilson tweeted earlier tonight and said, "And the game of Hunted will never be played the same again. We see your Richard Hatch and raised you a hashtag Lost Wolves."
Whoa.
God bless America.
That's some intense talk coming from Lee.
Yeah, he was not too gassed to make that bold proclamation.
Well, maybe if they come back for All Stars, he'll bite a shark and just sort of continue to, or one up Richard Hatch. Maybe I don't know.
Changers.
Maybe he'll bite a hunter.
They're an ultimate game changers. The Wolves. They totally changed Hunted for season two. Okay. So we have one team that does not have a happy ending tonight, and that's Arif and Ahmad. And we will talk about how they ended up getting busted in the final hour of their adventure here tonight on Hunted. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and it's our friends over at Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, and their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. You know, I bet English and Steve, they missed that home cooking while they were on the run. You don't have to, because Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients you need to cook delicious gourmet meals in the comfort of your own home, and for less than $10 per person per meal. Kurt, I know you're a big Blue Apron guy. Have you ever had the cop sandwich?
I have not had the cop sandwich, no. But interesting reality TV crossover is that Blue Apron is actually featuring a recipe from the winner of Top Chef in a few weeks. So they've done this the past few years. So they are in on the reality TV game.
Blue Apron does a really great job of mixing things up. You've got a great variety to choose from, so you never get bored with asking about what's for dinner. And it's very fun to put everything together. If you are an expert cook like myself, or someone just learning to cook like my wife, either one, it's perfect for you, because Blue Apron is going to give you this beautiful recipe card that they show you how to put everything together. Isn't that very nice, Kurt, the recipe card that they give you?
It is. And I did go through the process of like the meals that I want to cook again. And you have them there as reference, so you don't have to like wait for that to roll around again in the Blue Apron lineup in maybe a year. You can actually use those and just kind of make it whenever you want to.
They guarantee everything is going to be fresh and every ingredient comes ready to cook, or they'll make it right. And everything they send you, you're going to be able to make it in 40 minutes or less. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rob. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Get your first three meals for free. Blue Apron. It's a better way to cook. All right, let's talk about Arif and Ahmad and where things went wrong for them. That Liana, Sam Hoff really was the beginning of the end for Arif and Ahmad.
Oh, Sam. Should have left his phone at home.
Yeah. Sam Hoff, the barbecue king. He ends up taking Arif and Ahmad to this place. And Kurt, this looks like a leftover set from like The Walking Dead.
Yes. Walking Dead slash paintball course slash dog kennel.
Yeah. It was a crazy place that they went to. I think that Crack Den, I think, was probably also on the list of places you could use this location for.
CBS was kind of graciously calling this a farm.
They described it as a farm, but then they get out there and there's all these abandoned buildings. There's graffiti everywhere. I mean, we've talked about the fact that Arif and Ahmad have maybe been dealing with some doomsday preppers. Mm-hmm. I think this is just more evidence to suggest that they really were.
Yep. This is where you go when stuff goes down. Head over there. The dog's already waiting.
And I found this girl named Sophia in this barn.
Oh, it's Herschel's farm. Oh, no. Yeah. So Arif and Ahmad, my heart goes out to these guys that they're fasting for Ramadan this whole time and they can't even get a drink of water. Liana, that who is it? Is it Arif or Ahmad is pacing to get his mind off how thirsty he is?
Yeah, I think that was Arif. They can't get a drink of water. They can't get their Blue Apron. I've
Arif
said this
and
before.
Ahmad, if I ever saw you on the side of the road, dying of thirst during Ramadan, I would not give you a drink of water.
Okay, Sue.
Just rats, both of them. I felt so bad for them. I mean, I would definitely not be able to do this. I can't go a couple hours without eating anything. So props to them. I mean, really good on them.
Yeah.
I felt bad when Team India found their backpacks in that like kind of kids playhouse, because I was hoping, I mean, that kind of cemented for them that they were definitely there. And I was really hoping that at some point they would kind of like give up and move on, but not the case.
Yeah. Well, we ended up with three teams on the scene moving in, and we had a name for this plan where we figured out ultimately via Sam Huff's phone where they were. So we send three hunter teams in there. And I believe this is Rifi explaining what we're going to do.
This is not safe. This is not safe. This is your only way for movement. This is called a cop sandwich.
Yeah, a cop sandwich. You know, all Arif wanted was a hamburger.
He didn't ask for the cop sandwich.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been able to eat it.
Yeah, that's the worst part about it. The cop sandwich was right in front of them, and they would not have been able to have it.
This is called a cop sandwich.
Now, I've had a cop salad, which is delicious. Yeah.
Yes.
I had that on Blue Apron recently. So they're getting a little excited, Arif and Ahmad, and you know, pride cometh before the fall, Kurt, but they're like, hey, this is pretty good. Nobody's gonna find us in here.
I after seeing this episode, it made me realize that David and Emily had their desk calendar. Arif and Ahmad had Meadow.
Yeah.
I mean, like literally any move that they were doing, they checked it against Meadow's network. And it ultimately, like, you know, this was like one of their friends, like Nuri, N-U-R-I, was on Meadow's contact list. And it wasn't just the fact that Sam stopped at this location for 45 minutes. It's the fact he stopped at a location that was associated with somebody on Meadow's network.
Yeah.
So the typical Meadow.
I mean, in Arif and Ahmad's defense, I would not have gone in the crack den either. So if I was a team that showed up there, I've been like, it's fine. We'll find him at the next spot.
Liana, how many hunter teams did we have there?
I think there were at least three.
I know we had Team India.
Team Charlie, Team India, and Team Golf.
Okay. Wow. The seldom used Team Golf.
Yeah.
John and Vinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they helped out with the Matt and Christina capture, but other than that, we haven't seen them in a while.
Yeah. So they were chasing them around the crack den for a while, and it was looking good. Arif and Ahmad, they were it was shades of Tony in the Spy Shack. They were just like almost completely invisible. And I don't know what their camera person was doing, but they really were staying out of plain sight. And there was a point where I think Team India thought they heard them, but...
Oh, it's a dog. You got a dog. It's a dog. It's a dog.
It's a dog. It's a dog. It's a dog. It's a dog. Dog.
Hi, dog. Precious.
Yeah. Whose dog was that? Meadow?
Nuri's? Nuri's?
Sam Huff?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
What was his dog doing here? And then also within the abandoned buildings, there was just all these like tarps and cardboard boxes. There something looked like a paper mache like horse head at one point. I don't know. It was just a very bizarre place.
Okay.
What were they farming?
Kurt, do you think that this is going to be good or bad for Sam Huff's barbecue business that he seems to have access to a place with a bunch of hidden caged animals?
I wonder what that meat's made out of.
Oh, gosh. I'm hoping he can kind of pawn this off as this is something that Meadow knows. I only know this person through Meadow. I want all the heat to come down on Meadow for this.
Yeah.
It's always Meadow.
Hey, yeah. I'm Sam Huff. Come on out for our new special, Cop Sandwich.
This is called a cop sandwich.
Don't worry about what's in it. Okay. So ultimately, I thought that Commander Clark, I know he like is an amazing leader of the hunters, but I did feel like he's like a, all right, let's go, everybody. Come on. Let's get in there and find them. I want to find these guys today. I didn't think he was giving a lot of helpful tips to the team.
No, Commander Clark was straight channeling Rupert tweets. It was very generic. Get yourself organized. Start checking structures. I want them caught at all costs. Like, oh, really? Do you?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Don't forget to breathe while you're out there. Want to make sure you're all getting plenty of oxygen.
We want you to look for them. Be sure to touch them and say your time on the run is over.
I would have loved it if there was like a short circuit in his programming where suddenly he's just like, okay, we've got two fugitives. Our RF and Ahmad. Everyone's like, we're already at day 22. So we got this already. Plug him back in. Plug Clark in.
What is it, like a Westworld loop?
Exactly. He was having a reverie.
Want to make sure everybody has applied enough sunscreen today. We don't want any of our hunters coming down with any sort of sunburn.
Measure twice, cut once.
That's right. That's right. And then ultimately, we saw that it was Team India that brought down Arif and Ahmad, and so close. Leona, do we know how many days they went?
I don't know how many days they went.
It was 22.
22 days.
It was a good one.
I felt bad for them. They were hiding from behind their wood chip spy shack. You could see a little bit of Arif's blue shirt. I was like, no, get down. It was very dramatic.
Again, once they found their packs, it was a foregone conclusion that this was going to happen, but it was a good run. Kurt, what was the highlight of Arif and Ahmad for you?
The kayak and Ice Cube. So the whole thing, the moment they left, survivalist, whatever her name was, they got her camper and kayak and just their time kind of just putzing around that lake in the state park. That was the part I enjoyed. Back to nature. Arif and Ahmad, back to nature.
Yes. I think for me, that the ultimate Arif and Ahmad moment was when they were in the boat and they were getting loopy.
Hey, look at that bald eagle.
Yeah.
That's a bald eagle. America!
God bless America.
Yeah. So that's a patriotic show.
Two very different takes on how you kind of express that.
Yeah.
I didn't get the sense that Lenny was saying it as a point of celebration.
At the end of the episode where we saw the two hunted teams get away, Commander Clark also, brought the team in and was like, okay, this was a pretty good job, everybody. Okay, we didn't get them, but sometimes that's the game. Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, 7-2, not a bad record.
He was proud of the record of the hunters, Liana.
He was very supportive. I'm sure he gave a bunch of generic compliments to everybody and really just kept the team together.
You at the computer. Good job. Yeah, it kind of applies.
Everybody here did good work. All right. So let's talk through some questions that the listeners had about this. Here is a question we got from Umberto. And Umberto Humby said, let's not act like this was a great move by the Kings. It wasn't even them. The new people offered to do that. They had nothing to do with it. Kurt, Is Humvee being fair or unfair to the Kings?
Nice. Oh, to the Kings?
Yeah.
I think Humvee's being fair to the facts of the situation. Whether or not that's fair to the Kings, I'm not going to say, but I do have to agree that it was Rita, the wife, who said, well, you can take our car and we'll meet your sister. And who knows, maybe English was kind of like offering the idea kind of halfway. She didn't want to like impose on them too much. But from my take on it, wife Rita was and her friends were like just they were so psyched to be doing this that it kind of all came together. I mean, I think one of the other things that really benefited the Kings is they had, apart from Meredith, really intelligent people helping them. I mean, we had the one friend, Rebecca, say, I think I was being followed in the store. Whether or not that was true remains to be seen, but at least she was, you know, looking for that. And Amber even said, hey, you might not want to come see me in Charleston because the hunters, if they're looking at my Facebook, they know I'm here and they're going to be on me. So they not only did they approach strangers, they had people who were actually intelligent helping them along the way.
Liana, I thought that while Rita and the car she gave them were invaluable, I do have to give credit to English King, who did have the plan of that we need some sort of a decoy.
Yeah, I really liked this plan from English, and she did seem to be the one that came up with it. I don't know if she necessarily pulled an Emily's mom and it was the most brilliant idea ever, but she definitely, pulled this out, and it's what distracted the hunters and I think helped them get away.
Okay, so that was a good job. Humvee being a little unfair to the Kings.
Do we have to give actually the credit to Stephen? Because Stephen was the one who maybe planted the seed in English's head that she shouldn't be calling Amber. I mean, back in the car, he was
calling the Stephen seed.
Yes, there you go. So if we're going to give credit to anybody here, I give it to Stephen.
I'm the king. I'm Stephen King. Okay. Matthew Woj wants to know, did we just see the Bob Crowley of hunted winners, Liana?
Well, again, I don't know. I mean, you know, Bob kind of fell a little bit butt backwards into his win in Gabon. But I think that, you know, English and Stephen clearly did the right things. They stayed out of their network for the most part. And props to them for making it to the end. I think credit where credit is due. And they made it to day 28, same as Lee and Hilmar.
This is from Katie on Twitter, who says, 1180 Peachtree looks like flat tweezers in the Midtown skyline. I like the overhead shots. What is 1180 Peachtree?
Is that the building?
Yeah, I think she's referring to the overhead shot of the building that we always get that's meant to kind of allude that it's, you know, the command center.
Okay.
That it's present America, present day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jennifer on Twitter @J_Mo_ it's three underscores. Why are people bagging on Stephen and English? They made it to day 28. They are better than David and Emily and the other five teams, Liana.
Yeah, I mean, again, they made it all the way to the end. They didn't have to make any fake hidden immunity idols along the way. And they were able to they pulled off the win. And I think that the way that they were edited in the show, you maybe feel like they deserve less credit. But, you know, they pulled this thing off where David and Emily didn't.
Yeah. Kurt, the English and Steven stands are definitely out on Twitter tonight.
Yeah. Here's the thing is like it's not like them, like I mentioned this earlier, it's not like the Kings winning took away, you know, the win from David and Emily. So it's, you know, if people are upset about it.
I heard that it did.
Oh, you did? Okay, then I'm wrong. it's all the Kings' fault. but it's like the only thing I can really get behind being frustrated on is kind of again that fast forward from day 9 or whatever it was to day 26. And again, it I don't know, do you introduce the Kings an episode or two earlier so that you give them a bye week in there and maybe a week that just kind of shows them, you know, hitchhiking and being abducted by aliens? Just because they're not doing anything exciting, I think it still would have been good to at least give something that shows some sort of montage that shows them hitchhiking around the greater American Southeast. I don't know.
Could you argue that English and Stephen really got some benefits of the hunters having like 9 close calls with David and Emily? Did that really suck up a lot of resources, Liana?
Oh, so maybe that's what happened. Since they were spending all their resources, you know, being so close with all those close calls with Bavid and Emisley, but then they just, maybe they just ignored the, you know, the Kings. I don't know.
So I actually have a question for the two of you. Do you think that it would have been better served to the series to have Arif and Ahmad go out in episode 6 and have David and Emily go out in this episode?
I think people would have been very stunned to see David and Emily not win. But I do think that just in terms of how much time you had to tell each story, that David and Emily were like the last 25 minutes of the episode last week. I don't think you could fit that in and anything else of consequence into this finale.
Yeah, I do think that it would have been very dramatic. And maybe if this was a 90-minute finale or a 2-hour finale, we would have seen them in there. But just being able to tell all the stories, this is almost like this editing puzzle where you're trying to fit together what happens with each of the storylines in a way that makes sense and fills, you know, the hours in the most exciting way possible.
Brandon Bryce wants to know, are English and Steven the Sandra of Hunted in that they win and no one gives them strategic credit?
But I don't know about that.
Not until they win Hunted season 6.
Yeah, they have to win again, Kurt?
Yes, they have to win again.
Yes.
Yeah, when they come back for the heroes versus villains season of Hunted.
Gregory McBean wants to know, if one of the Hunters got their own spinoff show, who would it be and why? One of the Hunters.
One of the Hunters, I think it would have to be Team Alpha. I don't know if I can pick a team, but I think it would be Team Alpha. They got
I think you could pick from the command center as well.
Let's see. What are they going to be doing in their spinoff show?
Okay. I think that the answer is probably Andy Stumpf made a late push.
I would have to give it to Griff in terms of the teams. Just in terms, you know, there's the whole. Like the feuding between him and Lee and Beth Wilson, and you know him convincing Meredith to give up her quote unquote friend. And so in terms of the field teams, I would give it to Griff.
He was a star out in the field.
It would be the Griff spinoff show where he makes crank calls to people. I think that could be a really good show. I'd watch that.
That would be good. Ben Owen, I think, would be good on a spinoff. I think that would be very fun. And then what about Dr. Max?
Yeah, you got to have Dr. Max. Rifi was a quote machine. We got a lot of good ones from him.
Yeah.
You could get like a fashion kind of commentary from Charles DeBarber with his hats and bow ties and a little beekeeping on the side.
Don't forget Teresa. She's very good in the command center.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be like one of those like Bravo staff based shows where instead of the ship or the hotel, it's now an intelligence agency. you need all these people.
Yeah, I like it. I think that'd be good. Gregory McBean also wants to know, is Stephen King the writer officially now the Stephen King that sucks, Kurt?
at least for the next week.
Aw.
Sorry.
let's give Hunted Stephen King a little bit of elevation for at least the next 7 days.
Right. In terms of Hunted season 2, and hoping that the show comes back. And of course, if you really want to push for Hunted season 2, I think the best thing you could be doing is tweeting about the show on social media. Liana, based on now that we've seen it all play out, do you see anything that you would change?
You know, I think that there are a lot of people who complain about the show that there's this lack of transparency, the rules aren't made clear, and then they also have this feeling that it maybe feels a little fake, a little phony, like kind of like almost like the uncanny valley of reality television shows. Mm-hmm. Like there's just something not quite right about it. I don't know what it is that they could change, you know, that would, I mean, maybe giving out all the rules in the beginning. Now that we've seen Hunted season 1, maybe we have a better idea of what those rules are. So maybe some changes as far as being a little bit more transparent with the audience.
Kurt, do you agree with that?
I agree completely. I think especially now that we, like I said, we've got one season under the belt, and Liana, I think you're calling this the uncanny valley of reality TV, like hits the nail on the head. I love that description because it is there's something at times where it seems just a little bit off, and it's like they want us, I think even the very first episode we talk about that they want us to think about it as a reality TV show, but then part documentary, and then, you know, and everyone's, we talked about how you know, seriously they're taking it when we know that they're not actually on the run from law enforcement. So I think maybe what could, in addition to what Liana said, I think what could potentially be done is maybe some secret scenes a la, you know, like we see on Survivor. In terms of, and like them being transparent about how some of the search and hunt processes actually took place. Like when they're making some sort of request, here's the process by which it actually goes through. Not being afraid to let the audience in on how the sausage is made and, you know, who's standing behind the curtain, to mix metaphors. So yeah. I think a little bit more of that transparency could definitely help.
Another thing that is, and I don't know how they would fix this, but it's the editing and the timeline of the whole show. Because, you know, we see teams that are out there like Troy and Shelley that are out there for 18 days, but we only see, you know, them for one episode. I don't know, just based on how exciting some of the teams might be, if there's a way that they could make it a little bit more consistent with what the actual timeline was for the hunts. But maybe having more of the updates of what day it is would be useful.
Okay. I'm almost picturing, like, you know, that carnival game where you're shooting the gun into the water gun into like the clown's mouth, and then the horses race along the track. But just picture like some sort of timeline where you can see where each of the players is along this 28-day race. And so even though it's episode 3, you might have one person who's at day 15 and one group that's at day 7, but something that does allow you to track where respectively they are on this 28-day timeline.
I think that's fair. It's hard because you have these people that we saw their whole adventure in one episode. Would you like to see more of like just like a straightforward, like, okay, it's day one, all of the teams are on the loose, and then sort of like we're following the command center over the course of 28 days, like a Survivor season, Kurt?
I actually liked the way they staggered it around, and some people had bye weeks. So I don't necessarily think I would want all of the teams taking off at once on the first day. Although I do think it would be an interesting twist to see everything from the perspective of the command center. You definitely would miss out by not having like cameras out in the field. I think that's where a lot of the fun takes place. But an interesting twist would be to have it completely told from the perspective of the command center and not necessarily also the hunted.
How about this for hunted? Now, I know that the mission for season one was go on the road for 28 days and stay hidden and avoid capture for 28 days. But if when you get to the end, you have to log onto a computer, you have to go to a bank, you have to make it to a plane, why not make it where you have to do all of these things and you can do it in less than 28 days? Like, there might be, you know, 5 different locations that you have to hit. You have to be on the move, and it would avoid the stuff that was, I'm guessing, boring, that didn't ultimately make the show, like people hiding in the woods for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. So you have to, you know, hit this ATM, or you have to get to this place in Atlanta. You have to, you know, check in here. The hunters don't necessarily know where you're going, but you're continually on the move, and you might get to the 5th and final stop, which, so it's kind of combining some Amazing Race elements to it. And after you hit your 4 or 5 things, then you can hit a bank and then get to a nearby plane. And you just might be on the move faster, and maybe you have a total of 30 days to do this, but you might be able to do it all in 10 days.
And it sounds like you're saying that those 4 or 5 things, some of them may ping you on the radar, like an ATM check-in, but some of them might not necessarily do that. It's just that there's a difficulty and a chance of you exposing yourself in terms of coming on the radar.
Well, I think it would. I think it would set off some sort of every time you hit that thing, it would like, oh, okay, they're at this ATM in this city, and then, you know, the hunters at least know where you are, but then you're on the move again to the next thing.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
I think that's difficult because you are essentially having this trade-off behind wanting to create exciting television, because the drama comes from these close calls. I mean, that's why we saw so much from David and Emily, is because they had all these close calls. But then also, you don't want to make it just so blatantly unfair for the fugitives that they're getting all of these pings that are coming on the radar for the hunters. So I don't know, knowing kind of the outrage, at least that I saw from these three rules at the end, I don't know how people would feel about it, more of those kind of types of situations.
I think the anger, for lack of a better term, about the these kind of check-in points, if they were clearly communicated at the beginning that as part of the upcoming 28 days, they're going to have to check into these four places. It's a little bit like that board game I was talking about. There are these pre-planned times where you do have to surface. If it was known ahead of time that there was going to be these times where they have to check in, I think you'd have much less of an uproar about it in social media.
Yeah, I think that the problem here with the finale was just that in like 10 minutes into the finale, it was just sort of like, then there are three other things that need to happen for the win condition to happen. Teams need to have this, do this, then go on foot. And then wait, what? They have to do all those things? And the hunters will know each time? It just made it feel like, hold on, that all of a sudden you are like, there was just this fine print that like, hold on, wait a second. How is anybody supposed to do this? But then they did. So.
But then they did and it was all okay.
Yeah. But for, you know, Twitter was really mad for like 30 minutes.
Yeah. That's Twitter.
That's
it's
Twitter.
This guttural reaction where it's just like, this is unfair. And it's all happening so quick. But, you know, I think when we're discussing it, and if you really take a step back and think about it, if they knew this beforehand, you know, maybe it's not so outrageous. And because, you know, we also had those rules along the way where they had to hit two ATMs on their time on the run. They had to move, you know, like 5 miles every 2 days or something like that. Yeah. So there are parts of the show that are encouraging them to move and to be in a situation where they might be caught by the hunters.
All right. Well, what a fun run we've had. Much like English and Stephen King, these last weeks on the run covering Hunted has been very, very fun. To Kurt and Liana, both of you, that I've gotten so much praise from people on this podcast, how they've enjoyed the show and they've really enjoyed the podcast. So thank you to both for spending all this time covering the show with me.
Oh, it was fun. It was a blast.
Yes.
Kurt, yeah, it was so much fun.
Do you feel good that a show will be able to evade the Kurt Clark curse?
I'm afraid to comment. I'm so hesitant to comment. No comment. Because although I will say that for, you know, shows where we've had more than two people podcasting about them, such as, I'll just say Top Chef has survived. It wasn't the first season of Top Chef. We kind of got into it with its run.
Yeah. You can come on to an established show.
Sure. Well, we've talked about, I think this was brought up on Twitter early on in the run, but the Boris blessing, I'm hoping will counteract the curse. And so Charles DeBarber has offered to sacrifice some of his chickens if necessary. So we'll see what ends up happening.
Yeah. Kurt, one of my favorite RHAP moments was when Tony mentioned the Clark curse in his campaign for Mr. Survivor 2014.
Yeah, someone gave him some talking points.
All right. So very fun stuff. Of course, you could follow the great Kurt Clark on Twitter. He's at Kurt Clark. And of course, you could follow the great Liana Boris on Twitter. She's at Liana Boris. Is there anything else that we should mention while we're here?
Just get active on social media. Maybe we'll see you at season two.
Okay. Very fun stuff. We have so much more coming in these next few days on Drop as a Podcast. Of course, we have one more Game Changer preview to bring you. I have my profile on Michaela and Ty coming up on Friday. Be on the lookout for that. Josh Wigler and myself are doing a deep dive into TEOS chapter 20. That was a season that people really love from the Evolution of Strategy. We are going to be both listening to all 17 hours of that and then answering your feedback about Heroes versus Villains, a very important season, all returning players. JT, Sari, Sandra are all there. So very topical heading into the Survivor Game Changers. And we have much more coming up going into next week. I'm going to talk to Angie Kontz. I'm going to talk with Nicole and preview the cast, get a pick from Nicole Stradamus going into the new season, and so much more. So make sure you subscribe. Rob has a website.com/iTunes, and we are within 1 week until the big Survivor 2-hour premiere coming up this Wednesday night. Now we can officially say. So we are inside a week, Liana.
I can't believe it's finally here.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Two people voted off the first night. Very exciting stuff. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Thank you so much for listening to our Hunted recaps. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.